Last Lord's Day, we talked about salvation to true believers. This morning, I want to talk about the sin of homosexuality. You know, this is not considered to be a sin in our land today, but the Scriptures very definitely call it that, so we're going to talk about that this morning. Let's read the beginning in verse number 18 together. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God. And one of the things that is unrighteous is the homosexual sin that men and women are doing all kinds of places today all over the world. The wrath of God revealed from ungodliness, and homosexuality is by God called ungodliness and unrighteousness, Now notice, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now that word for hold is not the regular word, which is a hold, which is echo, to hold to have. It's kateko, kateko. It means to hold back. Not to hold and to believe it, but to restrain it and violate it and speak out against it. They hold down and hold back the truth in unrighteousness. That's what many people are doing today. They say, well, it's all righteous. They have homosexual marriages. Lesbians can marry lesbians. Homosexual men can marry homosexual men. And they hold back the truth of the Word of God in unrighteousness. Let's read verse number 20 together. For the invisible, number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. The truth of God manifests the creation itself. These are people, are heathen people, heathen nations and lands, spoken of in chapter 1 of Romans, and all kinds of truth from the creation has been manifest and showed to them. Let's read verse number 20 together. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The invisible thing. Now notice the first thing is creation of the world. God is the creator. People today are denying the creation. And they're saying it's evolution, some other means, but it's creation by God. And because God created the whole world, the second thing in this verse, these things are clearly seen. The things that He made. If the things that are made by Him, why are we worshiping people that men make for themselves? That's what the picture is here. Clearly understood. The things that are made. All this creation. Now the heavens and the earth and the plants and the animals and people. Notice the third thing. What you can see by this general revelation is His eternal power. God's power. People can make automobiles. They can make lots of other things. They can make houses and various other things. But they can't make the world. They can't make the trees. They can't make all these other things. The stars and the moon is eternal power. Just in a second, six literal days, we believe, 24-hour periods, or thereabouts, the sun in the evening, even in the morning, the first day, He made the whole thing. His eternal power is seen by creation. Notice the fourth thing in this verse. Also, His Godhead, that is, His deity, that He is the one that is matchless. We should not worship things that men make. Here's He, the God that made all things. He is the one to worship. They're without excuse. I realize this is general revelation from the things that are made in creation. We have in the Bible God's special revelation. He's given a special revelation. But even in general revelation, they can tell that you don't go into idolatry. It's clear that God made these things. Man did not make these idols themselves. And we should not worship idols, but worship the Lord. Let's read verse number 21 together. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And notice, when they knew God, some of these early Old Testament, old people in the world, the heathen world, there was a time when they took this general revelation of creation. They knew God. They were cool. And then the next generation came, the generation after that, and they failed to maintain that. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Thankful that God made all these things. They became vain. That word vain is empty and foolish. Matayo, it's a foolish. And their imaginations, notice, vain in their imagination. That word, dialogismos, the thinking of man, deliberating within himself, what this word means. Questioning about that which is true. That's what this is. Questioning that which is true. Deliberately, imaginations. And then if the result of this vain imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. foolish heart, rejecting the Lord, made a darkened heart. Let's read verse number 22 together. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, professing, they thought they were right. They alleged that they were right and wise. But the standard of their wisdom was their own brain, not God's wisdom, and the Lord Jesus Christ's wisdom, but their own brain. Professing, oh, we're wise, look at us. But because that's what they said that they were, they became fools. When you think that you're wise and you reject everything that God ever taught, everything that He ever made, all the creation that He has in the world, that's foolish. And the wisdom of man became fools, and they were actually became fools. And that word moraino, to act foolishly. And that's part of idolatry. That's part of homosexuality, acting foolishly. Let's read verse number 23 together. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto the corruptible man and the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So they change. This word for change, alasso, also means exchange. Not simply change, but exchange. They swapped it out. They took one thing and made it into another. Exchange the truth of God, the incorruptible God, the glory, to an image, like unto man. That's the exchange that they made. Knocking out the uncorruptible God, worshiping Him, to an image that they made. And notice the different types of images they made. A corruptible man. Idols of men, like an idol of Rome. They have pictures of the saints, all their churches, looking like men. To birds. Making some of the idols to birth. Four-footed beasts, some of them were animals. And then creeping things, snakes and lizards, other things. And they exchanged the incorruptible God, the things that were in, made idolatry. In the Old Testament, the idols and princes in Psalm 115, chapter 2 through 11. These idols have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, they see not. They have ears, they hear not. They have noses, they smell not. They have hands, they handle not. Feet, they don't walk, they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And the same is through Psalm 135, 15 to 19. It repeats the same thing. Mouths and eyes and ears and mouths, but they can't do anything with them. They're dead. These idols are dead. And this likeness and idolatry leads into homosexuality, actually. Things that are right that they can see. The likenesses are banned in the scriptures. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 16, for example, God says, lest ye corrupt yourselves, make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. That's against God's word. The likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish, the waters of the sea. God's forbade all these likenesses to be made, these idols. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 8, thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in earth beneath, or that is the waters under the earth. And this idolatry has led into homosexuality, the worship of man and all of his deeds. Let's read verse number 24 together. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That leads into homosexuality. But notice, God gave them up. He's finished with them. Uncleanness, lusts of their hearts, dishonoring their own bodies. And this giving up, giving them over, like paradidomy, give them over. As far as uncleanness is concerned, akathasai, it means in a moral sense as well, impurity, lustful luxuriousness. In Zechariah 13, verse 1, in that day shall there be a fountain, that's the cross of Calvary, a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus died for the uncleanness, the sins, and the wickedness of the whole world. And then in Matthew 23, 27, the Lord Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within, full of dead men's bones, and of all uncleanness, dirtiness. In Romans 6, verse 19, I speak after the manner of men. As ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness. Talking to Christians now. They used to yield their members to uncleanness before they were saved. To iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness and holiness. Then in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 21. But when I come again, my God will humble me among you. I shall bewail many that have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. Repentance and change of the mind, change of the action of uncleanness. Sad when they don't change their mind about it. In Galatians 5:19, it talks about the works of the flesh. Every Christian, even though they may be saved, still have the old flesh. They may have God the Holy Spirit indwelling them, but still have the flesh. And the works of the flesh manifest among the 17 works of the flesh, uncleanness, dirtiness, filthiness. Then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 or verse 19 talks about the old people and before they're saved being past feeling, giving themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness. Ephesians 5 and verse 3, he says to the church at Ephesus, Paul writes from prison, he says, fornication and uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. God does not want any uncleanness on those of us who are genuinely saved. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, Paul says to the church at Colossae, there again, writing from prison in Rome, mortify, that is, put to death, therefore your members, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, all the things that we have. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. He lists them, fornication, uncleanness, put to death, as well as other things. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 7, God has not called us, that is, those that are genuinely saved, has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. Then also this verse talks about they've given themselves over to uncleanness and the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of men. And that's a terrible thing. And dishonoring, that's of course what homosexuality does, the lusts of wickedness and sin. In John 8:44, we know that one. I say that one. The Lord Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The lusts of the devil are mentioned. In Romans 6, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it reign. These are talking to Christians here. That ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. The old flesh has the old lust. The Holy Spirit of God must control and have dominance over our flesh if we're genuinely saved. In Romans 13:14, we know this one. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make provision. We've said many times, those are the people that are drunks, and they say, I'm not going to drink anymore, but I want to hide my alcohol in the closet in case I need it. That's making provision for the lust thereof. Just don't have any of it yet. Not provision for the lust thereof. In Ephesians 2 and verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, not the present. These are Christians now in Ephesus, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh out of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And then in 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, Paul says to Pastor Timothy at Ephesus, flee also youthful lusts. Just run away from them. Just don't have anything to do with them. And don't obey the flesh that you have as a Christian. But be found and get grounded and controlled by God the Holy Spirit that indwells you if you're genuinely saved. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 6, for this sort they there which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. These women with lusts in their hearts and minds and bodies. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, we might know this one, for the time shall come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's true even today. They have teachers having itching ears that say homosexuality is fine, it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it's the way we ought to operate. Having teachers having itching ears will turn away their ears from the truth, as it says in the next verse. In Titus 2 and verse 12, the grace of God has appeared to all men. We know this one too. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Christians should deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. In Titus 3 and verse 3, he says to Pastor Titus there at Crete, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. That's in the past. It should be the past. Sometimes Christians are foolish even in the present. But sometimes we're foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice. Let it be past, not present. In 1 Peter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, we know this one thing. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. These lusts war against the soul, even of believers. The power of the Spirit of God must thwart and control the lusts of our flesh. Christians have the flesh, and they will not put it away until we get new bodies. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 3, the time past of our life, said Peter, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excessive wine, other things. The time past may not be present for believers today. And then in 1 Peter 4 and verse 3, for the time past, Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. This is what the homosexuals do, walking after their own lusts. In Jude 9, verse 18, how that when we were told you there should be mockers in the last time who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. And that's exactly what we have in the homosexual trade today. Let's read verse number 25 together. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now notice again, there are two things. The first is they changed or exchanged, as we said before, it's the same word. Metalasso, not a lasso change, but metalasso, exchanged. They swapped out the truth of God. And the second thing, they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. That's what they exchanged it for. The things that they could see are the things that they could not see. Let's read verse number 26 together. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, bringing their lustfulness into sexual use into that which is against nature. Here's the feminine homosexuality, the lesbianism. This is the affections of change. And notice the natural use of the woman with husbands and with children, bearing children. Vile affections, wicked affections. Vile is disgraceful. That word is atimia. Timis is grace, and what wonderful atimia is no grace. No, it's disgrace and dishonor. Vile affections. They're women that exchange the natural use, husbands and wives, bearing children, that which is against nature. Now, statistics give us a picture of how many lesbians or bisexual women there are. This was a survey of 20,000 individuals, samples, representative samples of 80 different communities across the United States. Young women identified as heterosexual and homosexual. 14.4%, either lesbian or bisexual, 14.4%. That's the women, lesbian women in this country. As far as the men, they're only 5.6%. They're told that they're either gay or bisexual. So the women far outrange the men in homosexual activity. It's sad indeed as well. But they've left the natural use of having husbands and wives, that which is against nature, and having sex one with another, women with men. Let's read verse number 27 again. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now notice, the leaving the natural use of the woman, husband and wife and bearing children, that's not burned like fire, lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly, absolutely wicked and corrupt and wrong, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. And they get the deserving of this thing and this sin, the results of homosexuality. God says it's meat, it's fitting for them to receive this wickedness they put upon themselves. In the back of the book rack, I'm giving you some statistics on homosexuals. There are many different things that are there. Take it if you wish to see it. This is from all kinds of evidence. It's all kinds of footnotes are there to see where the sources are. I just want to point out some 24 points in this list, long list, 24 points. The first, homosexuals got homosexuality removed from the list of mental illnesses in the early 70s. No longer they call it mental illness. Number two, homosexuals count for 3-4% of gonorrhea, 60% of syphilis cases, 70% of all hospital admissions. There's only 1-2% of the whole population, but all these high percentages of this illness. Number three, 25-30% of homosexuals and lesbians are alcoholics. 25-33%. A fourth thing, 78% of homosexuals are afflicted by STDs. 78%. Number five, here's a judge, Martov, Chief Magistrate of New York City Criminal Court, said this. He may be right, he may be wrong, but here's what he said, the judge. Homosexuals account for half the murders in large cities. Half the murders. Number six, 50% of suicides can be attributed to homosexuals. 50%. Number seven, it takes approximately $300,000 to care for each of the AIDS victims. $300,000. That makes a punishment for others skyrocketing as far as cost. Number eight, homosexuals were responsible for spreading AIDS in the United States. 50% of the AIDS cases in the United States were made up by homosexuals. 50% AIDS. And $300,000 to care for the AIDS patients. Number nine, homosexuals account for a disproportionate number of hepatitis. Some 70-80% hepatitis cases, San Francisco, for example. Number 10, 37% of homosexuals engage in sadomasochism, which accounts for many accidental deaths. Knocking each other out, smashing it, hitting it, knocking, that's sadomasochism. 37%. 11. Now notice, the median age of death of homosexuals, 42. A heterosexual man, 75. Homosexuals, only 9% live to the age of 65, homosexuals. They die at 42 instead of 75. Number 12, the median age of death of lesbians, female homosexuals, 45. Only 24% live past 65. What about the women that are heterosexuals? Instead of 45, they die at an average of 79. Death comes early to lesbian female homosexuals and male homosexuals as well. 13. Homosexuals are 100 times more likely to be murdered, usually by other homosexuals, than the average person. 100 times more likely to be murdered. 25 times more likely to commit suicide. 9 times more likely to die in a traffic accident. Number 14. 21% of lesbians die of murder, suicide, or traffic accidents. So it's a rate of 534 times higher than the number of white heterosexual females. 21%, 534 times higher. Suicide or traffic accidents or murder. Number 15, about 50% of the women on death row are lesbians. 50% on death row, lesbians, half the women. Then the homosexuals prey on children. Number 16, 33% of homosexuals admit of minor adult sex. In other words, having sex with children. Number 17, 73% of all homosexuals have had sex with boys under the age of 19. 73% with boys under the age. Number 18, what's the homosexual agenda? Part of the homosexual agenda is to get the public to affirm their filthy lifestyle. And that's exactly what they've done in the United States of America. Number 19, part of the homosexual agenda is to turn people from Christianity. The reason being that Christians clearly teach marriage is between one man and one woman for life. So they turn them against Christianity. Number 20, homosexuals knowingly lie and still lie about the 10% figure. They lie and say, oh, 10% of us are homosexuals. That's false. Number 21 says very clearly, current research shows the true percent, just 1-2%. They want to say 10%. Homosexuals, big group. No, that's a lie. Number 22. Now, homosexuals are not discriminated against in employment. So why should they be a protected class? Number 22 says, rounding up the figure, the average income of a homosexual, $55,000 a year. The average income of general population, 32,000 a year. 55,000, 32,000. Average income of blacks, 12,000. 55,000 for homosexuals, 32,000 for other people, 12,000 for blacks. Number 23, 59.6% of homosexuals are college graduates. 59% plus. Only 18% of the general public are college graduates. And yet they say they're trying to be, they're smarter than the rest of us. They go to, well, at least they go to more college, whether that makes them smarter, I don't know. And then the 24th, the final thing, 49% of homosexuals hold professional managerial positions. 49%. Only 15.9% of the general population hold these positions. 49% high up leaders in their professions. 15% of regulars are leaders. And they think they're being looked at against in employment. They got them made. So much for these statistics. But the scriptures are very clear as far as the sin of homosexuality. In Leviticus 18 and verse 22, no matter what men may say, God says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It's an abomination. Leviticus 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. In the Old Testament, they die. Their blood shall be upon them. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind will inherit the kingdom of God. Abusers of themselves of mankind. Homosexuals are mentioned. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, there's the homosexuals, for men stealers, for liars, anything else that's contrary to sound doctrine. It's crystal clear that our Bible is opposed and against the homosexual lifestyle, either of men or of women. And it's a sin and wickedness. People are deceived. Let's read verse number 28 together. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, I gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Notice, they didn't want to retain God in His Word. His clear teachings that this is sin and wickedness. God gave them over. He just gave up on it. He just turned them over. Paradidomi. He gave them over to deliver someone to something else. To a reprobate mind. Adokamas. Rejected. Unfit, unapproved, spurious, a reprobate mind. Their minds are reprobate. Notice, to do, and that's the present tense, to continuously do those things that are not convenient. Not convenient, and certainly not biblical. This is what they are able, this is what they've been doing. So let's read verse number 29 together. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. There are 23 sins that are mentioned. Homosexuals are guilty of practically every one of these sins. 23. The first 11 are mentioned in this verse number 29. Unrighteousness. Homosexuality is unrighteous. Fornication. That word porneia many times can be used of homosexuality, of lesbianism, of intercourse with animals, or bestiality, sexual intercourse with close relatives, or with a divorced man or woman. This is, in fact, Obama has now put this into the Universal Code of Military Justice, UCMJ. Bestiality is fine. Homosexuality is fine. We used to drum them out of the service. When I was a Navy chaplain, served 5 years in active duty, we had some waves in Naval War Station Corpus Christi, Texas. And it wasn't long before they were out. Bounced out, lesbian waves, bounced out of the service. Not anymore. They're all right because Obama and his people he put in charge of the military. All these things, wickedness, covetousness, unrighteousness, malignity, whispers, all these first 11. Then there's seven more in verse number 30. Let's read number 30 together. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Once they leave the Word of God, once they leave the Scriptures, all these other seven more things in addition to the first. Backbiters, haters of God, they don't want the Lord at all, any way, shape, or form. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and certainly homosexuality is part of that evil thing that they invent. Disobedient to parents. You see that on every hand. I was a teacher at John Paul Jones Junior High School for 18 years, and another year at the college or high school level. I saw this disobedience to parents, disobedience to the teachers. And if they disobey the teachers that they're supposed to obey, you can see they disobey their parents as well. Let's read verse number 32 together. Who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Did I read all of it? Did I read 31? Oh, let's go read 31. I'm sorry. 31. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now these are the last five of the 23. Without understanding, understanding the scriptures, covenant breakers, and then without natural affection. That certainly fits the homosexuals, lesbians, female with female. That's not natural. God did not make two women in the Garden of Eden. He created a man, and then from man he made a woman. Didn't create two men. That's not natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. We just read verse 32, I guess. We read it again. Who knowing the judgment of God, they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. It's not enough that these sinful people that do all these 23 deeds, but homosexuals especially, not only they do them, they have pleasure in those that also do them. They get together. They march. They have big campaigns. They go together on big places, big cities, and parade around homosexuality. We've got to have it. And down with the heterosexual, various other things. And they have pleasure in them to do it. As it says, it says many people, misery loves company. But so do the homosexual. They love company. And it says in the book of Proverbs, this is what Grandma Barker used to say to her son, who was in the military. My son, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And that's what many people... In fact, one of the things that they say, or the cries, that were not enough. And they go out to make more homosexuals. This is one of the cries that they have. But we're not enough. We have more. Go out more and more and more. One of the things that they make, but the pleasure in those that do it. So this last part of Romans chapter 1 deals with many things. It deals with the general revelation of creation and how the heathen just knocked it apart and started worshiping things that they could see, what they had made rather than what God had made, and worshiped and served idols. And from the idolatry, it says very clearly that they left the natural use of the women, as far as the women, lesbians, and homosexuals are concerned, and that was just not natural. And then the men, bringing their lust one to another with homosexuality. We've got a situation in our country with many states that now have ruled against the DOMA, the D-O-M-A, the Defense of Marriage Act, which I guess it was Mr. President Clinton that put that out, which says that marriage is between a man and a woman. And they've ruled against that. Now they've changed it. And many states are saying it's legal for people, men and women, men and men, women and women, to marry one another. In fact, we had just a recent case of a woman that was in a restaurant, I guess it was, or someplace, and she refused to honor the homosexuals. They took her to court. They're fining her. They're ready to ruin her, hope they take her home and everything else. Because many of the states have said you can't be prejudiced against the homosexuals. And a lot of states have said marriage is between men and men or women and women. And a lot of states have objected to that. They were very strongly against it. And they have laws against it. The federal government is trying to put the clamps on the state government for saying what marriage is, what marriage isn't. So we have a scripture that's clear, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the head of the church, the saved, born-again Christians. And he has like a husband, and those that are generous, they have like a wife. It's not a husband Christ and then another man down here. It's like Christ and the church. So as it says in the book of Ephesians, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The picture of our Savior and those who are genuinely saved is the same picture of marriage. Man and woman. Not men and man, women and women. So we have lots to stand for. And one of these days, they'll come after us if we're against a homosexual lifestyle. They come after this preacher now. They come after different ones because they're going to rule 1 to 2% of the family. That's all they are, 1 to 2% of the population, ganging up against 98 to 99% of us and saying, we're no good, you got to do what we say or else. It's coming to that. It's coming to that. And you know, I know the background of our president, his early days in Illinois and all the homosexual places where he frequented. He's for it. First of all, he came out and said he's against homosexuality. That was what he first did. It's changed now. Everything is fine. May God give us the strength to stand for the scriptures, no matter what comes. Stand for God's authority, God's morality, not what our state says or our city state says or our federal government. God's morality must be first and foremost among those of us who are genuinely saved. The unsaved people, they don't care what God says. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't care what's right and what's wrong. They are their own deity. And that's idolatry to the worst extreme. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word that's clear concerning the sin of homosexuality, whether lesbianism or male homosexuality. We ask thee, Lord, that thou wouldst guide those of us who are genuinely saved and Christians to stand up for truth and stand up for thy standards, not the standards of men that are all around us. Protect us with thy might and with thy power, and strengthen us, and may our Savior be glorified. There be any in our midst listening here in the service or other places in the internet who have still never been genuinely saved, never genuinely trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, that they do it right now and know that the peace that passes all understanding by genuine faith in the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals once again and turn to hymn number 505. Number 505. Since Jesus came into my heart, here's a verse together, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless.